Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk Texas Cup Series. It's the Sunday morning show. We're going to go over our picks. We're going to go over our player pool, and we'll go over some lineup builds. I'm not going to go deep into the breakdown of practice. I've already recorded that video. Check it out. I'm not going to go deep into track history and tracks to look at and what we expect from this race. I've already got videos online to do that. We want to quickly get into the picks and the pools, but I will quickly say yes, I expect long green flag runs and cautions. Both things can be simultaneously true. We're going to get long green flag runs, but we're also going to get breaks in the action. These cars are just too out of control, and that's going to open the door to our value. So I'm going to stand where I stood earlier this week, which is my value. I don't really like the deep punts because I don't think there's going to be that much chaos, and I think they're going to have trouble during those long green flag runs to hang on to the lead lap. You need guys that are going to hang on the lead lap, run around 20th, and then benefit from some strategy at the end and finish better than their average running position. That's what I'm looking for in my value, and there's really not a lot of value on the board. So we're going to do our best to find drivers that we think can hang around. And maybe you want to deviate from practice to separate from some of the other DFS players. That's fine. We need guys that are just good enough and benefit from some of the two-tire, four-tire, different strategies that we see. Hard to predict sometimes. It's also hard to predict who's going to be our hogs. And you can see the top of our player pool. Obviously, these guys are all going to be hogs. They're ceiling projections. They will not all end up as the top plays of the day. They can't all lead laps and run fast laps. But for me, in my practice and process, I like to just include everyone that has the possibility of leading laps. And as I explained in the previous video, when we look at the practice laps and we look at really where they're running, and this is just echoing what Denny Hamlin already said earlier this week, they're all pretty much sandwiched together. There's not a lot. There's parity. This is what NASCAR wanted. Denny Hamlin hates it. There are no more superstars because of it, just the way that it is. And so you can make an argument that anyone really in top 15 based on practice and what they've done this season, especially at this type of racing in Texas, can lead the odds to run fast laps. And so the deciding factor is going to be strategy. The deciding factor is going to be pit crews. And to help you out with that real quickly, outside of this group, the fast pit crews are Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott, which definitely helps with their optimal status. It's going to be hard for Keselowski to get through the field, Elliott to get through the field. I think they're both pretty solid cash plays, but they definitely will benefit from fast pit crews. Keselowski can also benefit from doing differing strategies. We know that he is one of the best strategists in the sport. So two-tire, four-tire, maybe that gets him into clean air and he's able to hang in. Now, as far as our top 10 goes, we expect the clean air to benefit those drivers. That's the guys that you see up there. They're probably our best to be hogs or dominators or to lead laps. And this could be a dominator type race where Kyle Larson runs away with it. You can obviously see I've got him slotted in on the right side of the screen. No problem. If you need explanation for Larson, check out the other videos. You don't need explanation for Larson. The rest of the top 10, if we look at pit crews, Bell's got a top 10 pit crew. Reddick, Briscoe, Byron, Blaney, Truex, Hamlin, the guys that you would expect. They're all in clean air. They're going to be the guys that we want to target to lead laps. If we get different strategies, we're going to see multiple guys that lead laps. But again, I'm expecting long green flag runs. Larson should be able to stack on those. And you could see possibly Reddick or Gibbs. But although Gibbs' pit crew has not been of the best, they are still a Toyota pit crew that can have a good week. So again, your fast pit crews, Larson, Bell, Reddick, Briscoe, Byron, Blaney, Truex. I don't need to explain Larson. Gibbs had a really great practice session. He is starting second, so he is in the conversation. And even if he doesn't, and he runs at a top five and scrapes off some fast laps here or there, finishes top five, he can absolutely work at this price. Byron gets you a little bit more place differential. He is on a hell of a heater at the moment. No reason not to play him. He's checking all the boxes. Reddick is checking all the boxes. Now, sometimes they make mistakes on pit road, but overall, his pit crew is fast. He's been fast at this track before in multiple series. His practice session went perfect. When you look at laps, you probably like his the best, although I really think everyone is sandwiched together, and I don't think anyone has an absolutely dynamite fast car. We do like to see people unload fast and have exactly what they expected. Reddick fits that category. Larson fits that category. Byron fits that category. Bell, Truex, and Hamlin also do. If you are to look at lap averages, you're going to see some numbers that you don't really like. And that might move the field. But if you watch that previous video where you see like, oh, well, Truex, 18 on our 10 lap. Look at these lap averages. I'm not going to play him. There are aberrant laps mixed in between that weigh down his average. If you look at every lap in the lap-by-lap data brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, you'll see that these cars are fine. These cars are fast. No worries. Talking fast today. Trying to save you time. Make it easy. save you time. Let's have some fun. That's what we do here at this podcast. Keep it positive. Keep it happy. Keep it upbeat. Rocking and rolling. I love that you guys are here, that you are joining the team, joining the crew. Really appreciate it. You're supporting the 3Ds, diapers, daycare, and Mickey D's. You help my family. I help you as best as I can. All of these drivers are in consideration. The first value pick that we get is Todd Gillen. And if you see on the screen, we're not seeing a lot of 7K drivers that are popping off for us. Is that a problem? Hey, that's just the way that it is. And I think we got people to start and finish where they should. We're going to get some mix in at the end because of pit and cautions. But for the most part, it is what it is. They are where they are. They have what they have. And it's going to be very hard to pass. Gillen is showing up. We'll talk more about that in a second, but that's kind of where we're leaning. Chase Elliott is probably your cash play of the day. He's an extremely streaky driver. We know this. He wins in bunches. He's not winning in bunches right now, but he is clicking off top fives. He is moving in the right direction. He is definitely a momentum driver. And when things are going good for him, they are going good for him. And even when his finishes weren't that great this season, he was still running top five. Just sequences of races, pit decisions didn't work out. The car's fast. The 2023 Chase Elliott, forget about him. He is back to normal. Hamlin just missed out on getting into that final qualifying session. So he could be starting closer to the front. So it's a fast car, and he gets some boosted place differential. Now, intermediates may not have been his jam, but he gets the place differential to make up for that. He can scrape off some fast laps, last lap points, lead for a small stint, fast pit crew, steal the win, get into the optimal lineup. Bo Wallace, boy, you wish you could get a little bit more place differential. Boy, you wish he was a little bit cheaper, but the price is right. The car was fast. I like this practice session. We like what he's done here in the past. I don't know if he really works into the bill. Chase Briscoe is going to be that risky play, super low floor. What we get with Briscoe, though, is a fast pit crew. We also get the clean air that he's going to benefit from early in the race. But if he ever cycles out of the top 10 for whatever reason, I think he's going to be dead in the water and be more of a 15th place car. Stuart Haas is making some gains, but also at the same time, Stuart Haas has been reported to be selling to charters. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. You'll notice that right now in English class, we are teaching Hamlet. Either way, there are questions swirling around SHR. He's probably the most stable and safe, but this team, a bit of disarray. Not really super excited about it. Good qualifying session, but probably a little too risky to go there. I could see optimizers leaning into him because of his price, because of the lack of value. And if you do give him a bit of a ceiling day, and the optimizer says, all right, ceiling day, he worked. Yeah, but you might want to run the optimizer with a more conservative approach, and I'm sure it's going to kick him out. Chastain, I like it. A little bit more than Bubba. You have to pay a little bit more than Bubba. Fast cars for Trackhouse in practice. I broke that down in the previous video. We expected that. They have been good at Texas. They have been good at Nashville, which I think is comparable, and Dover. They have wins at those tracks. So, Ross Chastain, if you can't get to him, we definitely like Suarez. First value play coming up with real good upside. Obviously, Gillen's going to lack that upside, but Suarez has run well at this track in the past and at these types of tracks. The practice session went really well. He's starting this spot that I can really like. I've only got him finishing 10th. I like that play a lot. Logano is maybe a little bit of a downgrade from the Chase Elliott place differential chase. 8,800, you're going to save a little bit. Penske Ford's moving in the right direction. Still don't think they have anything for the JGR Toyotas or for Hendrick, but he could sneak his way into the top 7, although a lot of his success recently has been at these short tracks. So we'll see what they do when they go back to the intermediate track package. It's been a while, but he's a possible play. Obviously, Elliott would be the one I want to go to first. Kozlowski, as I mentioned before, fast pit crew, playing strategy. The speed was not there. The practice session did not go very well. They tried something different in practice. He complained about practice earlier this week. RFK just kind of didn't do any long runs, a bunch of quick short runs, which tells me that, A, they didn't have the car that they wanted. When they showed up, that's a huge thing. Now you're behind the eight ball, and you really can't make many setup changes. As Jimmy Johnson talked about this week, a 20-minute session, what are you going to change? And what can you even change with this car? Chad Knaus talked about that this week. Like, hey, we keep taking away downforce. Take away downforce. Make the cars harder to drive. The problem with taking all this downforce is you have completely changed the operation of this vehicle, what it is designed to do. And as they take away downforce, Chad Knaus bemoaned the fact that, like, you can't make any adjustments. You can't adjust the springs. You can't adjust any of the setup of the car and the balance of the car because we've taken away what it was fundamentally designed to do. All the input that you could do during a practice or during a race, it's very minimal. Now, if you return the car to its original build, which he said, then you can really work on the car throughout the race, and you're going to see guys who get faster and slower. That's his idea. Put the downforce back in. Because, look, we keep taking away downforce. It's not working. Why not return the car to its original form, what the scientists designed it for, what the engineers designed it for, and maybe we can return. Now, obviously, that's coming from the crew chief perspective, but it is an interesting idea that we're not hearing a lot. We're hearing horsepower, horsepower, horsepower. It's fine. It's good. I like that idea. But, hey, maybe Knaus is on to something with, look, why don't we just take the car and put it back the way it was designed to do, and then it will do what it was designed to do, instead of just like this idea of just make them looser. Kyle Busch didn't like his car. Jim Johnson didn't like his car. Ryan Blaney not showing up high in my player pool because I like JGR better. I like Hendrick better. They've taken a step forward. It's a good track for him. High-speed track. Texas is a place where he can run. You could probably deviate from other people, but I just don't see him getting there, especially if Kyle Larson is just dominating the field early in the race. Josh Berry, kind of surprising to me, but, you know, running well at the short tracks. We don't know if that should really carry over. I didn't expect it necessarily to carry over. But if you watch the practice video, I was pleasantly surprised by what he did in practice. 15th might be a little bit too aggressive, getting him up there. But again, do I think he can hang on to the lead lap? Yeah, I believe he's got a car that will hang on to the lead lap. Could he benefit from some attrition at the end? I do believe that that could go his way. They can't give away a race. They can't mess up on pit road. But he's there, and look, our value is just not showing up. We are already 17 drivers deep, and we've got Suarez possibly, Todd Gilliland possibly. We need a couple value picks. We're going to need two guys that can be efficient, maybe not that efficient. If we are spending up on a Chase Elliott, if we're spending up on a Kyle Larson, we may have to lower our standard and our expectations from our value pick, and we may ultimately end up with some ugly driver that I didn't really want to go to. Buescher, very similar to the Brad Keselowski mold, hasn't been good at his home track really ever. They did not show up with very much speed. They're going to have to play games. You get a pretty affordable price tag, but really all things stacked up. I think I would like him to be, I mean, after the fact, I would like for him to be cheaper right now. Heading into Texas, like, that's not bad. That's pretty good. You're getting $8,000 at other tracks. You're jumping out of your seat. This week, like, yeah, that's pretty good. Now it's like, Alex Bowman. Didn't see it enough. Wasn't terrible in practice. He's in that conversation for top 15. His pit crew's kind of fast, just on the outside of being really good. Not completely out of the conversation, but he really has not been much more than a 15th place driver this season. They are slightly headed in the right direction. Not crazy. I'm not chasing Kyle Busch. He's had his issues. He may continue to have his issues. He's got a long haul to go. It's not going to be easy to work his way through the field. It's going to be a tough day for him. And ultimately, you just look at what this car has done. You look at what, you know, Austin Dillon laid down a really good fast lap in practice or in qualifying. But overall in practice, the session did not go well for RCR. They're changing things around a lot at RCR. A lot of questions. I just don't see Kyle Busch being the old Kyle Busch. I don't think he has the car to do it. And this all operates under the assumption that, oh, yeah, he'll just work his way through the field. He's going to pass all these cars in a car that, you know, it's going to be tough. They said just to get ready for the race. No, no, thank you. Ty Dillon's showing up just because he's starting dead last. He has been awful before the season possibility, but these guys all are on verge of losing the lead lap. Stenhouse had a decent run in practice. Sometimes I can be accused of being a Stenhouse homer, so be careful with that. He has been around a 25th, 26th place race car this season. Long green flag run. It's going to be some trouble. He was optimal at Texas, I believe, last season. Can he hang in there? Conservatively, you really don't like these plays. But the fact that, again, we've only talked about a couple of value picks, you kind of got to open up your mind to Ty Dillon. You've got to open up Ricky Stenhouse to the conversation. Priest did not show up well. He's trending in the wrong direction. This is when I'm talking about SHR, the heat coming on, things not really working out, and it looks like the spotlight is on Priest. The fingers are being pointed at Priest and his team, and they need to get it together. And they didn't get it together in practice. They didn't get it together in qualifying. He troubles me. But, again, if we're lowering our bar because there's not a lot of value there, maybe. I think Gregson has a pretty good car. I really like what I saw in my practice. We like what we have seen. He's probably more of a stable position due to his sponsorship that he brings, his name, his appeal, that, you know, they're going to continue to grow with this new team. Positive things working out there. Not bad. maybe starting a little closer to the front. But again, starting 21st is going to help him stay on the lead lap. He can hang around that position. But the problem is his salary is just a little bit more. But I think we can make that work. He's not showing up that high, you know, when we just straight rank them with ceiling projections. But again, that's a ceiling projection. If we were to do floors, he would be much higher, and he has a much higher probability of getting into the optimal lineup because these other guys can just have bad races. Johnson, not on it. It's not going to happen. You know, when a guy says, spent my whole career running off the right rear, now I've got to learn to run off the front, you're going to learn that now. It ain't going to happen. You're going to drive through the field at Texas. I know you've won here seven times, but it ain't going to happen. He's going to struggle. He will need mayhem and chaos. Nemechek, starting 30th, wasn't really that bad, but overall, these two legacy Motor Club Toyotas didn't show a lot of speed in practice. They will be in the conversation. I was expecting a lot more from Jones. Maybe we don't want to overreact to a poor practice session, but it looks like they are not really up there in the pack. They're sandwiched right in there with your Ty Dillons and your Stenhouse, and these guys are all going to be battling to stay onto the lead lap. And if that's the case, then I really don't want to spend $7,000 on Eric Jones. He will be there because he does tend to race better and try to find ways. You know, and Nemechek actually took a little bit of a step forward, but they're still not that fast. Michael Madowell just starting too close to the front. Overall, I do like the direction. They're starting to hit it off more with their Penske Ford Alliance, no longer with an RFK Alliance, a Ford Premier team. If you like Gillen, then yeah, their speed with McDowell is much better, but he's going to be off the board. That's a really risky play. Huge floor, but he will benefit from being kind of up front, but he could easily get shuffled backwards. And it hasn't been the greatest season, but that's because we have higher expectations for whatever reason. He's a 20th place car. 15th is fine with me. Now we're getting down to the guys that I really don't want to even play, but you might have to consider Justin Haley as just that savings play who benefits from nonsense and really doesn't have a point per efficient day, but no one else does, and he saves you money. That would be why Haley would work. I mean, you just say that these other guys really just go 4X as well. Haley goes 4X, but he goes 4X at 5.3, and it's a little bit easier for him to get to 26 from 32nd, so he's there. Austin Dillon's going to be a no-go for me. Great qualifying run, but one lap doesn't tell me too much. Practice hasn't gone well. The season has been pretty miserable. And then, as I mentioned before, Hemric is in a pay-for-play ride. That's why Haley went out to Rick Ware. And this is just, hey, he's got that South Point sponsorship, so just throw him in a car and turn laps. Austin Hill, the RCR just doesn't seem to have the ride this week, so I don't really need to go there. Maybe you think about it, starting 34th. It's not completely out of this world. Practice session was, yeah, something. I love what Zane Smith did, but he just qualified too close to the front. Broke down his practice laps in the other video. Check that out. Hosever, more than likely starting too close to the front, too easy for him to fade back. Well, he could run in the top 20 all day. He could work. Huge floor there. I would rather chase the place differential, because there's just enough place differential guys that one of them is going to come through. And if one of them comes through, then it bumps out Hosever because he just can't go too much far forward. He can have a good day. He can finish up front. But ultimately, there's enough of these junkers in the back that one of them's going to slide through, and that will bump Hosever out of the optimal lineup. Cindric too close to the front. LaJoy, really not that good in practice. Just so-so, pretty much in qualifying and in this race. And then Harrison Burton's just dead. Get him out of that car. He cannot race the next-gen car. All right, let's mess around with some builds. What do you say? How we doing? Having some fun on this Sunday morning. Thanks. Like, subscribe, share, racesurprise.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Even if you don't want to buy the package, you know you can DM me or email me at racewiththeprize06@gmail.com, and we can discuss deals, discounts, and ways to get in. Or, you know, it's just tip. Throw in a little PayPal tip, a little Venmo tip, Cash App tip. We're live now. We're monetized now, so we can start doing some super chats as well. You can be members of the channel, whatever that means, however that works. So we're going to jam in Kyle Larson. That leaves us with $7,800 to build with. We'll go with our first value pick to then see where that leaves us. I'm going Gilly. We'll go ahead and throw Suarez in. I'm not going to build the full lineup because, as you know, the one time I built a full lineup, I got canceled. Or they tried to cancel me. I mean, I guess I am canceled. I'm not really that popular. You know, no websites are saying, hey, we need to get this guy on our DFS site, and which I would say no anyway. I like to do my own thing, write my own thing, put podcasts out whenever I want, and serve the people. It's not about the site. We need more subs. We got to get more subs. I need you to pitch the golf content this week. We got a video game tournament coming up. We got to pitch that. You got to get more subs to that. Or just want to do podcast, daddy. All right, Kyle Larson. We got Suarez. We got Gillen. That leaves us 87-ish to work with. That's not bad. Let's take our cash play. Pop them in here. How are we looking now? 84.50. I need more dominators. I need more lap leaders. Now, the cheat code, which is not cheat code, but just for building right here to have maximized. Let's go tie again. I don't think it's terrible. That gives me 84 left. And I think we're back down to Brad Keselowski, hoping he makes the magic work. Or Chris Buescher making the magic work. He can't get to Joey Logano. We can't get to any of these other guys. And that's even going with Ty Gibbs, which I don't necessarily prefer. I mean, we really prefer having... actually, we'll go with Christopher Bell for a little bit more savings. Well, I think I really would go Tyler Reddick. We're looking for an aggressive driver that's going to lead laps. And then that gets us in the 69 range. Let's see. Now I'm getting three value drivers, which I'm really not excited about. But if I go down, I can get the Josh Berry. I really don't like having a Berry, Suarez, and Gillen. I really would like to get four drivers that can top five, top 10. I really want to maximize finishing position and place differential. And then having Berry, Suarez, and Gillen. I mean, Suarez could be the surprise of the slate and really help out and make that work and maybe kind of change our perspective and outlook on it. But I really would like to start with four drivers that really are going to be top five competitors. Suarez have a good day, score a lot of points, be very efficient. But I would really like to have four strong competitors. The only way you're going to get that build is you got to get out of Suarez, which I don't really like doing. But we'll do it. Let's go and see. Do we start with Berry? We'll go a little bit deeper, a little cheaper, and we'll go with Stenhouse. And see where this leads us. Gets us up to 8,000. We can't get to Brad, but we can get to Chris Buescher. Not excited about. Who else can we get? You can leave money on the table and take Suarez. That's not any better. Now we got three drivers that we really aren't excited about. Well, I mean, we're excited about Suarez, but we don't have our four big guys. So, all right. I guess the only way to feasibly get four drivers and have Elliott in there, have our three and Elliott, is to go with someone we don't. We'll go with the extreme savings of Justin Haley and see what this looks like for our build. 8,800. Still really can't touch any of these guys. You can get Ty Gibbs. And I don't mind, right? That's why can't he? Starting up front. Good pit stop early, leads laps, finishes in top five. Doesn't have to score as many points as Larson to be optimal. Doesn't have to be. He's $1,500 under $10,000. He hits efficiency a lot quicker, saving us money. I don't mind it. But at 88, we can also get to Bubba. Don't mind that. And we can also get the Brad Keselowski play. We can also get the Joey Logano play. That's interesting. If we go Haley Gillen, I've got the two place differential guys. I've got Reddick. I've also got. So here's a theory. Here's something you want to play out. Let's say it's the Kyle Larson show. Did he win the dirt race last night? I'm going to look that up real quick. You mind if I look that up real quick? I wish I would have stayed up. He did not win. Oh, well. I mean, fastest Indy this week. On the pole. So what? Can't win them all. Looks like Sunshine almost pulled out the win in the high limit race at Texas. Not quite there. Too bad for him. A lot of great drivers, great names in that dirt racing series. Okay, so we go to our build and we're going to go with our two. This is probably the cash lineup right here. And so that gives us 10,000. You can take Reddick. Can't get to Hamlin. You can get the Bell. You can get the Truex. So you've got two guys that can lead laps and run fast laps. You expect possibly Kyle Larson to absolutely run away with the show. You get your place differential in that situation where all of the hog points or dominator points have been hogged by Larson, which then limits the ability for these drivers to score who are depending on those points. But Elliott isn't depending on those points, so he works, Logano works, now they have to come through. But even in the case that Larson absolutely steals the show, someone's got to finish second, and likely that second-place finisher in a race dominated is going to scrape off some fast laps by running up front as well. And so you can put in any of these guys except for you can't get to Byron, you can't get to Hamlin. And I'm okay with that because if we really think it's going to be all Larson, then it's fine. Byron can't really score that many points. Hamlin could hurt because he can get some place differential. He can get a solid finish. But if we're going long green flag at Texas, a race dominated by Larson, not a lot of strategy involved maybe, then maybe you downgrade Hamlin a little bit. And you lean a little bit more with pure speed, which I think probably favors Reddick a little bit more. Or you favor the long run speed of a Martin Truex Jr. who manages his tires well. Maybe you go in that direction. That's fine. That seems like a pretty suitable build for cash. But for GPP, I don't think I really want to go Logano and Elliott, one or the other probably. And I'm really not that crazy. I mean, long green flag runs dominate. It's really going to hurt Haley. I think Gilly can stay in there. Maybe Michael McDowell works in that situation, unfortunately. All right, let's continue to build like this and see if we can get... That gives you 94. And if you go with Ty Gibbs, can we get another big player? What was it we got? We get to 10-3 in this situation. And so you still can't get to Byron, but you can get Reddick, you can get Bell, you can get Truex. Can't quite get to Hamlin. You're going to want to go cheaper on somebody at a value. Can we go $200 cheaper from Haley and still feel okay with it? No, I don't want to go Kaz, his teammate. What is Ty Dillon costing? It's $5,000. You can do the Ty Dillon dance. You can also downgrade Todd Gilliland if you want, and that is fine. If we go really super stupid, actually, I'm not going to go super stupid for this. That gets us up to 10-6. And at 10-6, virtually everyone's on the board except for Byron. I believe if you do the reverse of that, this opens up William Byron. It does open up William Byron. It's a double punt. I did not want to do that this week, so I don't think I will do that this week. But we are getting four drivers that are going to lead laps and run fast laps, which then leans into a bunch of cautions happening. There's a bunch of cautions happening. We see different leaders cycle in. That'll do it. Thanks for joining me. RaceForThePrize.com. Hope you guys are having a terrific Sunday. Let's do some affirmations. What do you say? I, Race for the Prize, will win the Texas GPP. I, Race for the Prize, Pierce Diedrich, will win the GPP and the $100,000 at Texas. You can do this as well. Maybe there's a crack in the simulation by, was it Mike Adams or whatever Adams? The Dilbert guy. Could work. You never know. It's fun to do. Anyway, thanks for joining me. I am blessed that you guys come here and that you support me. I hope I'm helping you and making things easier. Please keep coming back and liking and subscribing. Join the channel, join the team, join the crew. It's great. I am so blessed to have you here. I really love you guys. And trip the light fantastic.